You excited for Monday then, finding out about the host city?
Yes, finally, Martin. I mean, I think I've got a few ideas what it might be, but who knows? I mean, probably, unless you're listening to this, if you're a dedicated fan and you're listening to this when this comes out on Sunday, but you'll probably know otherwise if you're listening to this, we're another step closer to heading to Wisley. And then, of course, you know what we've got to do, Martin, once we know what the host city is.
Well, book our hotels.
Yes, that's it. That's right. Book up those hotels.
I'll be there. Hello.
Italy.
Is that the ferry? Yeah, we always go by ferry now. Hello, right. Is that the ferry? We're coming.
They're like, sorry, do you need to book something? Hello. Looking forward to that. Of course, we'll have all the news about that in the next episode. But lots to come in this episode too of Nullpois.
Nullpois is shameful.
Nullpois is lack of respect for jurors.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nullpois is no fun.
Yes, welcome to Nullpois. We are a Eurovision fan podcast based here in the UK. Myself, Martin, and Laura Kress.
Hello.
Over there, telling you about some of the things that are happening in the world of Eurovision and also trying to write our own hit Eurovision entry at the moment, of which we've written a very minimal amount.
Very little. We discovered
actually,
it.
I'd go as far as to say none.
None of it. No, we've not written any of it.
We've done none of the work ourselves so far.
We've actually done nothing. But someone who has done much more than that with a much little time, a much fewer time, is a guy we're going to be talking to. He's a Eurovision fan. He's also a sound engineer. He got in touch with us over Twitter. His name's Martin Fraser, and cannot wait to hear what he has done with Joe's track from last week. If you missed last week, we spoke to Joe, a guitarist on Twitch, who started, you know, getting the very basic building blocks of the song. Now Martin's come along and he's added some bass, he's added some beat, he's made it a bit more Eurovision-y. So we're going to chat to him all about what he's brought us a little bit later on.
He's all about the bass. Yeah, that in just a moment. But and also we'll talk a little bit more about the Eurovision host city, which the decision for which is happening on Monday. But first, I love when we talk about Eurovision, finding these characters, these people that represent their countries, who do just have these wonderful personalities that shine through, and then we sort of follow them afterwards. And Dorothy is a really good example, but one of the big standout performers from last year, and of course of 2020 as well, was Senit, or Senhit, however you want to say it.
It's Senhit.
It is Senhit, yeah, but it's said Senhit, which I think is kind of quite cool, because like she writes the hits, she's Senhit. Anyway,
Senhit
represented San Marino alongside Flo Rida, and she's back.
She is back, but with the same song. So Adrenalina, I love that song. Can I just say, I was so annoyed how poorly it did at Eurovision. Fine, James Newman, double Nullpois, fine, that's cool. But I'm sorry, Adrenalina with Flo Rida, come on, that deserved to be in the top 10, for goodness sakes. But she's got a little bit of something to be happy about, I guess, in that Steve Aoki, who, if you don't know, if you're not into dance music, is a huge, huge DJ.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, I know you wouldn't have, Martin, but that doesn't mean anything. I mean, he plays
if anything, that gives him more plaudits, doesn't it?
It does. He's a huge deal. He's a bit of debt, especially in America. But he's teamed up with Senhit for a remix of Adrenalina, and I think let's just hear a very small amount of it now.
It sounds exactly the same, just slightly faster.
Yeah, so it's a slightly sped up Adrenalina, but who doesn't want that? I mean, if I want an even funkier Adrenalina, yes, I do. I have to say, by the way, the song has done really well since Eurovision. It's exceeded 11 million streams on Spotify and entered the charts in more than 20 countries. So that's something for Senhit. And again, amazing that Steve Aoki has teamed up with her for this. So congrats, Senhit. And I don't know, I'd love to see her. I don't know if she will, but I'd love to see her in next year's Eurovision as well, and hopefully do a bit better. better.
Oh, yeah, we want to see her back. I think that would be great. More on Sunny actually a little bit later on for reasons I will come to. But right now, to Belarus and the ongoing saga, really, of Belarus. A very, very potted history of the situation, which was that for 2021, Belarus put forward a song. It was rejected for being too political. They were told to go away and come up with a new one. That was also rejected for the same reason. In a completely unrelated situation, Belarus were booted out of the EBU, the broadcasting union, therefore will not be competing in Eurovision next year as a result of not being EBU members. But there's now some more news about a potential reprieve in the future.
Yes, but it is quite far in the future. So the general director of BTRC, which is the Belarus's Eurovision broadcaster, they've clarified the suspension they've been given from the EBU that's currently set to last for 3 years. So until July 2024, they cannot return as a full member of the EBU, unless, of course, the EBU reviews the suspension and decides to shorten it. So that basically effectively means Belarus won't be participating in the Eurovision Song Contest and the Junior Eurovision Song Contest, among other things, until that time, unless the EBU decides to review it.
Right. So actually what they're saying is we're banning you until 2024 and unless we decide to not ban you until 2024.
Basically, yeah, but I think that makes sense. I mean, of course, I suppose there could be another broadcaster that steps up, but I don't really know much about the Belarusian broadcasters. If there's another, it will probably be, that is the main one, the BTRC. So yeah, basically it looks like we're not going to see the return of Belarus until, well, it won't be until 2025 they won't be able to be in, because it's July 1st 2024, so that would be after May's competition of that year. So yeah, it's going to be a little while, I feel, and unless of course the EBU decides it's not going to be a little while.
Trivia time coming up in a moment, and also going to be bringing you that chat with our Eurovision fan, musician, sound engineer who has contacted us because he thinks he can help with our quest to create a Eurovision hit. But first, should we rightly get to represent the UK at Eurovision in 2022, where might we be performing? Well, we are very, very shortly going to be finding out.
We are indeed. And as I said, if you've listened to this episode a little late, we already know. So hop onto our Twitter and we'll be telling you there. But basically, the host city for Eurovision 2022 is going to be announced on Monday. That's the 30th of August. Now, a lot of people have been saying Bologna, that was kind of the big one, really. A lot of people saying that.
Worth going back and listening to our podcast that we did with our Italian friends, who, when the big long list came out, really helpfully went down the list and went, yeah, that'd be good, that'd be good. Nah, you couldn't hold it there. No, you couldn't hold it there. Oh, that might work. And Bologna, funnily enough, came out really kind of high up. I think it was top in our two guests' estimations as well.
Yeah, they really liked that idea. Now, this newspaper, and this is coming from WeWee Blogs, this Italian newspaper, Il Resto del Carlino, is reporting this news that will be revealed on Monday, August the 30th. And it is a trusted newspaper, so it sounds like that is going to, you know, nobody from the EBU has said this is when it's going to be given out. But you'd think maybe that date might be correct. And the newspaper, which, surprise, surprise, is based in Bologna, which does give us thought that maybe it will be Bologna if the newspaper is based there and is saying, oh, the announcement's going to be made on Monday. You'd be like, well, why do they know? You know, who knows? But they reported as well that only five cities remain in the race: Bologna, Milan, Pesaro, Rimini and Torino. And they said that's based on the city's respective venues or the engineering criteria necessary to put up a latest generation TV show. So there you go. A lot of people thinking the fact that the newspaper is based in Bologna is significant, but who knows? We are soon to find out. And once we do, we will definitely be going either back to our friends or making new friends, trying to find out more about the city, because I've never been to Bologna. I don't know if you have, Martin. I'd nope. love to know more about it.
No, me too. Really interested to know a little bit more about Bologna. And next episode, should all these rumours be correct and we do find out when we think we're going to find out, you'll get reaction right here on Nul Poir.
Right, now it's time to continue our adventure of making a Eurovision song. I'm very excited to speak to another top Eurovision fan and musician and passionate about Eurovision he is as well. This is Martin Fraser. We spoke to Joe last week, if you remember. He helped us with the kind of guitar riffs and sort of shaping the song. Now we've got another, as I said, a musician. He's also a sound engineer. He's really into Eurovision. Martin, hello.
Hello.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and for helping us out yet again, because basically we don't know what we're doing, so
I don't really know what you're doing either.
Good. Well, that's a good place to start, Martin. This is going well. We've got two Martins on the show now, so it's going to be very confusing. But tell us a bit about your musical background then, first of all.
Yeah, I'm honestly mostly just an amateur musician, but I've been one for a very long time. I'm getting quite old now, and I've just have a ton of experience because of that. I started as a little kid, played the trumpet in a marching band. I did that for a long time, actually. But then I figured as I was getting older, I thought, oh, that's not cool at all. So I got into playing the keyboard, which I thought was really cool. And then later I realized, oh, that's actually not cool either.
Oh, I so play the I keyboard.
Should... Oh, I'm sorry. Yes! I'm sorry. But then I bought a guitar and I learned that. And
that
then
is
I bought
cool,
a bass
though,
guitar and I learned that. So I just kept collecting and learning instruments over the course of my life. And then once I was done with school and things, I didn't know what to do. And I went to music school and I studied music technology. So I guess I'm a sound engineer.
You've definitely got the skills here and the credentials, though. Yeah. I reckon to give us a helping hand. But I thing I wanted to know, yes, you've got the music credentials, going to give you that. What about your Eurovision credentials? How big of a fan yes. are you of the song contest?
I'm a bit of a fan. I'm not the
That'll
the
do.
World's
That'll
biggest.
Do. That works
That's
for
fine.
Us.
That's enough.
It does help. I'm from the Netherlands, as you've heard probably already. And, you know, we've won last time round, before, you know, the last mm-hmm. one. So this has obviously created a huge boost in our confidence and our interest in the whole thing.
How do you think the Netherlands did in hosting it? Obviously, it's difficult, isn't it, because of everything that happened?
Yeah, and it was supposed to happen last year and it didn't, obviously. So I felt they had kind of forced to do it now because, you know, you can't keep postponing it. But it all was a bit awkward. I think all things considered, it was still pretty well done.
Yeah.
I just think it will be another 25 years before we get another chance. So.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but you know what? I actually think that the 2021 Eurovision Song Contest will go down in history as the pandemic Eurovision, the one where it kind of like a phoenix rises from the ashes to sort of almost, quote, Conchita Wurst. I think it will be remote. And I think the Dutch did an absolutely brilliant job, I have to say.
Yeah, I think they did. What,
I'm interested to know the feeling in the Netherlands at the moment, now post-winning and post-hosting. How do, in your view, the Dutch people view Eurovision now?
I think people are quite into it, to be honest. We're not going to win this anytime soon again.
We don't need to now, do you? You've done it.
No, but it's sort of like we're now over that. So it's now, you know, it's...
You've just been greedy now. You want to win again.
Just chill.
Well, I don't know how to say it, but there's not really more to be gained from it now. So
sure.
I don't know. I think before it was really hyped and then we won and then now we're just left with nothing.
Well, no, the UK was left with nothing, Martin.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I know.
Let's not forget that. We're still bitter, but we understand.
Well, you should be, but also, yes, I think you should. I don't think the UK has to lose. I think with a quality act, you stand as much a chance as anyone, really. I do believe, because I think there's sort of this sense that Europe hates the UK, and I don't think that's true at all.
Well, if you want a quality act, look no further than these two music, I don't know, leviathans of the music world. Maybe not yet, but with your help, quite possibly. I don't know how much you've heard about our efforts so far to create a Eurovision hit record, but I think we need some help.
Yeah, I've listened to the last episode with Joe.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good start to have a musician on if you want to make a song. It's a bit aimless still, I feel. Mm, I mean, it needs a sort of direction, doesn't it? It needs structure, things like that. So that's the thing I've been thinking about a little bit.
We wanted to make this a little bit more sort of poppier, because that is, because although obviously there are guitars in Eurovision and, you know, rock bands have one, I mean, Måneskin, for example, we did feel it needed a bit more structure to it. So would you, I don't know how you want to do this, would you mind maybe showing us a bit what you've been looking at? I hope you haven't put too much effort into this, by the way. But
I don't know. You just only sent it over today. So I just looked at it a bit, you know, and so... That's what Joe played, right?
Mm.
Yeah, that's what he got.
I think it's not a bad way to start, but I think if you add a little bit of percussion, then you sort of feel the poppy feeling starts to. Maybe it's actually a little bit fast. Maybe if it's slower. I can imagine this being the start of the song. It needs vocals, obviously. So
that's where me and Cressy here come in.
Yeah, exactly. But I do feel this is a way to start the song. And then obviously he's made that sort of chorus part next. That's where it starts to go, really. So I thought I'd just add some more stuff. That's sort of a song, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's what we're looking for, really, a sort of a song. So we'll take that.
So, yeah, I mean, that's where you can go. And then these are all the parts. So I think once you're here, you have to go back to the verse thing, probably. Maybe like this.
I like it. Yes.
That could be a song.
Yes, I mean, I think I like the slightly quicker version. I think that I was getting into that. That was good. I enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah, and then maybe at first I was thinking maybe play the bass guitar since he was also playing the guitar. So it's all, but actually I think more of a synthesizer bass.
Ooh.
That probably works better.
That's got a bit of like a Darthy feel to it if you put a bit of synthesizer in, and we know that that might go down quite well.
Yeah.
Martin, this is so good.
It almost has like a retro 90s feel to it, doesn't it?
Yes. Or 80s.
This sounds amazing.
It sounds so good. I'm so excited.
Brilliant.
Yeah, we need to come up with lyrics. I think we need to sit down and just think what the kind of vocals are going to be. But I'm very well done. That was great.
Yeah, I think if you have a foundation like this,
yeah,
and then just have to start with melodies and lyrics and stuff like that. that's when you really have a song, right? So, yeah.
Well done, Joe. Well done, you. This is really starting to take shape now. Cannot thank you enough for your effort in putting that together. So really, this is over now to me and Cress. We've got to put the work in
we've got a
brilliant sort of the structure there from you with those extra little bits that really bring it to life. We've got the base of it from Joe, and now we need to add the magic.
We need to add something. We've done nothing.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. A fair point. But this is it now. We're going to get on this. And the next time we talk about this, we need to be coming up with something good and solid, I reckon. Martin, thank you so much. It's been brilliant having you on. And thank you so much for all your efforts so far on this.
Yes. I wanted to just quickly ask you, very quickly, because you mentioned as I was talking to you that you made a Eurovision game. Not only are you great at music, but you've made a game to do with Eurovision. So just tell us quickly about that as well.
It's for this this game jam called Ludum Dare or Ludum Dare. I don't know how people say it. I've done this in 2016. It's been going for ages, this jam. I think it's three times a year people go in for a weekend. There's 48 hours to make a game. I made a Eurovision game where there's lots of acts. I made 100 songs for it. So it just plays songs and then you vote. And that's the actual game part. So how it works is if you give a country a lot of points, they become your friend. And then next time round, they will give you a lot of points as well. But obviously you can't give everyone a lot of points. So you have to be strategical every year. And then over the course of a few years, you can gather a large enough group of friends and eventually they'll select you the winner of Eurovision.
It's a really realistic way of doing it, isn't it? I kind of feel like there's probably a whole other podcast episode in Eurovision related computer games, I think. And it's we'll have to get you back on, Martin. You can put your computer game hat on rather than your music hat on, and we can talk more. Fascinating stuff.
He is a man of many talents, clearly. That we could talk far more, Martin, than we have, but really appreciate you coming on and talking to us. And if people want to, you know, follow you on Twitter or find out more about you, I don't know if you've got any details you can give us for anyone to follow you.
Martin Fraser, that's my name, and that's also my name on Twitter. So, yeah, you can follow me there, and I just have a massively random feed with just crazy stuff. That's who I am.
Brilliant. Well, again, thank you so much, Martin. That sounded so good. I'll speak to you after and we'll get it all together. But genuinely, thank you for coming on and doing that in a very short amount of time. So thank you.
No problem at all.
Cressy.
Hello.
Do you have any questions that you need to ask me?
Are you doing much at the weekend?
Am I doing much at the weekend? Well, look, I am, but that it's not. It's not. Oh, I'm just going to get on with it. I give up with this. It's trivia time.
Yeah, come on then. What's your trivia that you've got? As you probably know by now, listeners, Trivia Time is where we delve deep into Eurovision's past and dig out a little nugget of Eurovision trivia to hit you with. And what have you got for us this time, Martin?
I am going to talk to you about somebody we've been discussing in the podcast already today, which is Sunit. I wanted to give you a few facts about Sunit.
Lovely.
The first of which also relates to something else we were talking about earlier on in the podcast.
Look how he's tied it on.
Where is Sunit from?
Ooh, yeah. Now, I'm guessing she's not from San Marino.
But where have we been talking about just a few moments ago?
Italy.
Yeah, where specifically?
Bologna.
Bologna!
Is she?
Yes, she is.
Oh, wow.
Yep, Sunit, born and raised in Bologna to Eritrean parents who moved to Italy, you know, years and years and years ago and settled in Italy and had Sunit. And Sunit has this kind of dual heritage where she feels very, very Italian, but she also has these really, really strong Eritrean roots. And that really kind of comes through in her culture that she has with her family, which is really, really, really cool, isn't it? And I think ties in so well, especially yes. if it is Bologna. That would be absolutely fantastic. Other things you might not know about Sunny is that she actually has competed in the Eurovision Song Contest many, many times before. Mm. Not just in the one that never happened in 2020, not just in the one that she performed in very recently in 2021. She actually was in Eurovision in 2011, but she was known as Senit rather than Sunit back then. So she's been performing a few times. Yep, there you are. Thank you very much. Other things that I need to tell you about Sunit are that she has recently been on a BBC TV show. She was one of the 100 judges on Singing Competition All Together Now. Did
was
I
she?
You watch that?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Brilliant.
Where they had like 100 singing experts who were there to listen to, I don't really remember it, listen to somebody perform.
I know it well.
And then they all had to stand up or sit down with it. It was a weird show. It wasn't very good. But Sunit was part of it and she was in there. She's also worked with really well-known Eurovision act and Italian 1973 entry Massimo Ranieri.
Oh, okay.
Obviously.
I'll tell you another fact about her. I'd love to go out for a drink with her. I think she'd be great fun. Yeah. Do you not think she'd be wild? I think she'd be amazing. Sunit, if you're listening, let's go for a drink.
Yeah, and let's go for a drink in Bologna. Yeah.
Yes, come on, Sunit. Let's all meet up. If it's in Bologna, let's meet up. Let's go.
Let's go. You can show us around. So
yes.
There you go.
We got to do that. If it's in Bologna, we got to try and get hold of Sunit and get some tips from her. That's what we got to do.
It's a yeah. Let's try it. Why not? We're going to be there part of the delegation, aren't we? Because we're going to be representing the UK with our absolutely super duper hit song. So it's got to happen. Anyway, there you go. Sunit was the subject of this week's Trivia Time!
Fabulous stuff. Oh, I'm excited now. Thank you for that, Martin. It's time to turn to our correspondence. And thank you once again. Lots of people on Twitter getting in touch with ideas for lyrics again. Once again, Suij Nish on Twitter gave us some more lyrics. And this was to do with your Lille date that went wrong, Martin, where you were standing alone with a block of cheese. Mm. They say, from Eurostar to where you are, alone in Lille, hard not to feel, things should have been better, still got my cheddar.
Oh,
which I think
that's
is great.
So good. Oh, and everybody is doing so well with this,
so
aren't
much
they?
Than us.
Yeah, oh, amazingly better than us.
We really
yeah.
shouldn't be in the credits at all for no. this. They do add as well, incidentally, ABBA's SOS is in D minor. Bjorn called it the saddest key, so you're in good company. Hopefully, my cheese lyric will help. Cheese is very popular across Europe, which can only help. Thank you so much for that, Suiz Nish. Yeah. And thank you as well to Pop Tunes, who gave us that lyric last time, which we might make it to the chorus, who said, well, thanks for the mention, very pleased to be a tiny part of one of my favorite podcasts. So thank you Pop Tunes for giving us the lyrics.
Incidentally, just talking about ABBA, big news happening about ABBA soon.
Yes,
aren't they? Do you remember when we went to Sweden and there was that ABBA hologram there and you were part of it? Remember you were in ABBA?
I was technically in ABBA briefly. Yeah, this whole ABBA hologram tour that they're going to do, which sounds ABBA Voyage, they're calling it.
Yes, ABBA hologram. There we are. It's very odd. Anyway, more music from ABBA as well, which should be kind of crazy, but there we are. Okay, let's end the podcast there, I think, because we've been talking for quite some time now about Eurovision and we need to stop because we're going to do it all again next week.
Well, at least say how people can get in touch with us, or do you not want me to bother?
Oh.
Should I leave it this week?
Yeah, leave it. People don't need to. Go on,
so
then.
Instagram is Noel Pawpaw. You see, he doesn't know. I have to write everything down or he just forgets. And it's just like, come on, Martin. How many times have we been doing this
I'm
for
like
now?
Ron Burgundy.
It's episode
not
bloody 80,
of...
for Christ's sake. God knows, listeners. I don't know. Anyway, it's Noel. I mean, to be fair, we've been doing this long enough. People should know. But it's Noel Pawpaw Podcast on Instagram. We're at Noel on Twitter. If you want to send us an email, maybe you're a musician and you're like, I could help with a song as well. We'd love to hear from you as well. If you want to help us, nolpawpodcast@gmail.com. Like and subscribe to our episode. We're on iTunes, we're on Spotify, we're on all the good stuff. Give us a subscribe and a 5-star review, if you please.
Thank you very much for for listening. See you again next week when we're going to be talking about which Italian city we're off to next year. Ta-ta. See you again on Nolpois.
Ciao.